Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have any children who want to come forward for a children's sermon?
Thank you.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we just heard once again about Adam and Eve and their temptation. And the Old Testament shows us many places of temptation, not only Adam and Eve, but also the temptation of those who were promised a land filled with milk and honey. And they were released from bondage in Egypt and had reached the very edge. They were almost there. And that's when they doubted God. And God said, because of your doubt, I'm not going to let any of you enter this land that I've promised. And as a result, they wandered for 40 years until all of that generation had died. And then we look at the temptation that we see today in our gospel. Jesus has just come from the Jordan River. He's just been baptized when he heard that voice from heaven saying what? Do you remember what it said? What did it tell Jesus about himself? Yes. You are my son, the beloved one, in whom I am well pleased. And with those words ringing in his ear, telling him who he was, he went out into the desert. And what he's doing out there really is preparing him for his ministry. And of course, after a long time of not eating, you're starved. And it's so easy to fall into temptation. And while he's weakened that way in his physical state, the tempter, the devil, comes to him. And he says what? He says, if you are the Son of God, prove it. Now, Jesus knows he's the Son of God. The devil knows he's the Son of God. What is there to prove? He says, if you're the Son of God, then command these stones to become loaves of bread. Is there anything wrong with loaves of bread? Okay, except for those of you who may have gluten problems. Is there anything wrong with loaves of bread? When you're hungry, what do you want to do? You want to eat. That seems perfectly normal. Make this stone into bread. You can do it. If you're the Son of God, you can do that. Sure. And what does Jesus say? One cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. First, he doesn't need to prove that he is the Son of God. He knows who he is. And second, he knows that there is something more than just bread. He knows that there's more than just bread that the people that he's going to serve will need. Now, he could have just had a ministry where he made all of those stones out in the desert, loaves of bread, and fed a starving people with that bread. They're starving. They're hungry, just like he is. And he could have fed them forever on loaves of bread made of stones in the desert. That could have been his ministry. That sounds a lot easier than what he was called to do. And we know that the time comes when he feeds more than 5,000. But his ministry is not just to feed people bread and to heal them of their illness. Because you eat bread and it's gone. But you consume the words of God and they stay with you. And that's what the people were starving for. They were starving for the word of God. And that was his ministry. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus knows who he is, and he knows his ministry is more than feeding himself. He's not going to do a miracle for himself. When you look in the scriptures, does he ever do a miracle that is meant for himself? No. Every miracle is for the glory of God. So that didn't work. So the devil tries again. He takes him up to the holy city of Jerusalem, places him on the very pinnacle of the temple, and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. If you are the Son of God, prove it. Do something fantastic. This is an easy way to get people to believe that you're the Son of God. Just throw yourself down from this high point in front of thousands of people, and the angels will come and carry you up, and everyone will see this miraculous sight, and they will believe in you. Shortcut to your ministry. You don't have to do all the things that you think you need to do. You can just do this one fantastic thing, and everyone will believe in you." And Jesus doesn't buy into this easy shortcut to ministry either. He says, again, it is written, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." He knows who he is, and he knows that his ministry is going to be a long and difficult one. He knows that it's going to involve suffering, greater suffering than this time that he's spending in the wilderness. And there are no shortcuts. He knows he's going to have to suffer. He knows he's going to have to die. He knows it's going to be difficult for people to believe. But he's not going to do some miraculous sign like this of throwing himself down, having angels come to his rescue just to prove who he is. So the devil tries a third time. He takes him up to a very high mountain, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all the splendor of those kingdoms, and says, "And all of these I will give to you if you will just bow down and worship me. I can give you these kingdoms. You can be a great earthly ruler. You can be the Caesar. You can have all the kingdoms of the earth. You can be the one in charge of all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, first of all, who do all these kingdoms belong to begin with? They belong to God. They don't belong to Satan to begin with. And second, Jesus is not going to be tempted to be an earthly ruler. He keeps telling people over and over during his ministry that my kingdom is not of this world. He has a better kingdom that he wants people to know about. He wants a better kingdom for them to be in. He says, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So he's tempted by bread, he's tempted by power, he's tempted by shortcutting his ministry. And he does not fall into any of these temptations. We're told instead the devil leaves him and the angels come and wait on him. Can you imagine what that scene would have been like? That the angels were standing there all along watching this go on. Did they wonder? Did they wonder if he was going to succeed in these temptations? Did they have any doubts about him? I don't think they did. He knew who he was. He knew what his ministry was going to be. And he stood strong. My question to you is, do you know who you are? Do you know what your ministry is? Do you stand strong? Or do you listen to the temptations of the world that try to tell you that you're someone other than who you are? Because who are you? Who are you? Who do I keep saying you are? God's child. You are children of God, claimed by God in your baptism. And the world says, well, if you're a child of God, you can get away with things. You're forgiven, right? Are you really a child of God? Then why doesn't your life seem to reflect it? Why is it that you fall into sin and temptation? The world tries to persuade us that we are someone that we aren't. And what we can hold tight to is we are who God says we are. There is a wonderful song by Lauren Daigle. It's called You Say. And it begins, I keep fighting voices in my head that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Have you heard those voices too? I know I've heard them. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. And the chorus is, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. Do you feel loved all the time? I know I don't. Sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes I feel lost. But to know that I am loved by God, and that it has nothing to do with whether I feel it or not, it is the truth. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. That I can be strong believing who God says I am, believing in God's love for me, that I can do things beyond what my weak thoughts and flesh say are possible. And you say I am held when I am falling short, and when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. I believe. Those are such powerful words. To know that faith is not a feeling. Faith is a belief in a God who loves us, in a God who claims us, in a God who says, you are mine. The next verse, the only thing that matters now is everything you think of me, meaning what God thinks of me. In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity. And you say I am loved. And you say I am strong. And you say I am held. And you say I am yours. To know who we are helps us to understand our mission in the world. It helps us to withstand the temptations of a world that tells us that we are not loved, that we are not claimed, that we are not enough. Because Jesus says something so different. God says something so different. That we are loved, we are claimed. And in God, we are enough. Amen. And our hymn of the day is one of the favorites that was chosen. It is, I Love to Tell the Story. Let me tell a little bit about that one as well. That this was written as a poem by an English evangelist, Catherine Hankey, set to music by William G. Fisher. Hankey had a serious spell of sickness while on a mission to Africa. During her long days of convalescence, she wrote a very long poem in two parts. The first part was a poem of 50 stanzas titled The Story Wanted, and the second part titled The Story Told. And it was from that second part, The Story Told, that certain verses were edited to make the hymn I Love to Tell the Story. The refrain is, I love to tell the story. will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. So let us join together in the hymn of the day, I Love to Tell the Story, number 661.